You go ahead and be seated. What a great joy it always is for me to be with you. My name is Mark Lyle. I'm campus pastor here at Aurora, and that too is a joy. Mom, good morning. Good to see you. I know the music was too loud and rock and roll-y for you, so we have that out of the way now. My mom really is here, so it's good to have her with us. And rest of you as well. Welcome. We are in a great series, the series Thy Kingdom Come, but I haven't had a chance to give you a campus update because this is the first time that I've been able to preach this year. So let me catch you up just for a minute on a few things that are happening here at the campus. One is, sadly, as you know, Mark and Kate Walls are going to be leaving us in just a couple of months. And as I said in my initial email, that makes me sad, and it also makes me happy because Mark is an extremely gifted guy, and he really does need to be pastoring his own church or campus. So that's what he's headed out to do, and I said the only criteria I have is that you not do it too close because everyone will leave and go with you. So he's going to Dallas. Actually, he doesn't yet know where he will be planning a campus, perhaps in the Dallas area. It might be anywhere. But make sure you tell Mark how much you love and appreciate him and his family and what he has done. He has been a faithful servant here, and we're going to miss him. And that, unfortunately, is we're losing a team member and looking for some. We're in the process of looking to see how we can fill the role and the void that Mark leaves, but we also have added a team member, and that is we've added Kathy Eberly to our women's ministry team. She is our campus women's ministry director, and Kathy will have office hours and everything officially now. So ladies, that is a great gain for you. Kathy and her husband Rob are here. They were here first hour, so they're going to sneak out, but they came in just for a minute. Kathy, this is Kathy Eberly. For those of you who don't know, you know now. So, Kathy, great to have you on the team. You guys can sneak out if you want. The third thing is, and I love this was brought to my attention by, I meet with a team of guys because I know I have blind spots in who I am and how I lead and even in what I communicate, and I love that a team of guys helps me with that and reminds me and keeps me sharp. And one of the things is we've done some things because safety is such an important value to us, and it always has been. First and foremost, with even your kids, I've given examples of that before. For those who work with your children, we background check everybody because that's important. That you need to know your kids are going to not only a fun place, but a safe place. And we feel like we're aware of what goes on in our world. We're aware that people come in and create disturbances and can cause havoc. And so as a church, we've always been committed to your safety. And I had a really good question because we had some blue boxes pop up around the church. And I had some folks say, what are those blue boxes? Well, what they are is they contain cans of pepper spray that shoots up to 25 feet. And it's a deterrent for somebody who comes in. Now, only the staff has the code to get into those boxes. So those of you who are thinking of adding an enhancement to edge games, you can calm yourselves, all right? But those are just another way that we didn't do this, by the way, because we've had any kinds of threats. That's the other thing I want you to know. We have not had any kind of threat. There's not been any kind of threat at Hudson. We just know the world we live in, and we said it's better to be proactive than to be reactive. So the other thing we did, by the way, is we asked the Aurora Police, would you mind coming and being a presence weekly? And you can help us out with crowd control, you can help us out with traffic as needed, and they have been here, and I got to tell you, because this is a proud pastor moment, Chris Ryder, who's been coming fairly regularly, there'll be others, but he's come pretty regularly, he has thanked us for what his experience has been like here. That's you guys. That's the kind of church we want to be, is where somebody comes in and they feel like, wow, that, you know, I may not even go there. I may go there because I have to work, but he has experienced something of the love of Christ in even being here. So I'm proud of you guys for that. Thank you for doing that. So I just want you to know, that's kind of a campus update, just a few of the things that are happening. But if you ever have any questions, don't ever hesitate to call, to send an email, to get a hold of us, and I want to make sure we clarify that. Hey, as I'm getting us ready to move into our passage today, go ahead and turn to John chapter 19, or find John 19 in whatever kind of device you have. And I hope you will know fairly quickly in being here that the Word of God is important to us, because we believe it's exactly that. It is God's Word to us. It teaches us who we are, and it teaches us how we should live. And if you've never read Scripture, or you don't even own a Bible, we can take care of that. I want you to not leave without having your own Bible. And all you have to do is ask out at the Welcome Center. We have Bibles for you. Or there are all kinds of great Bibles available online. And you can simply download one of those and bring it with you. But we'll be in John chapter 19. We're continuing in our series called Thy Kingdom Come. And I love this theme. I love the book of Matthew anyway, but I love that Pastor Joe chose this particular theme to recognize the importance of this prayer, but more important, the truth of a king and the king's kingdom and the king's citizens of that kingdom, which is us. A quick story. In 1987, I went to Romania, and I was invited with a group of college students to go. I was invited by the Baptist church to go and to teach in some Baptist churches there. In 1987, Romania was still deeply in strict dictatorial communism. And it was a scary place. I didn't feel that our lives were ever particularly threatened, but I also knew, it was very clear by even the folks we ministered to, that we were not necessarily welcomed by the government to be there. So at one point, we kind of went off into the mountains, the Carpathian Mountains, in a retreat area, and we met with students, and as we talked, I realized they would ask us a lot of questions about what it's like to be an American and what it's like to live in America. And some of it was, you know, they loved it. You know, we have McDonald's, and that we could go out and buy jeans whenever we wanted to, and, you know, as if those are the key things of life enjoyment right there, jeans and McDonald's, you pretty much have it. But I came to realize that more and more, of course, what they were talking about was one of the things they knew about America was it was a place to them that was free and that was just. And what they were saying to us was, wow, we really need your kingdom to come here. Okay. So it's simple. Ultimately, the prayer, the plea that they had, the prayer that they had was, it'd really be great if your kingdom would come here. And that's why I love this theme, is because what we are doing, we are recognizing that in the prayer of Jesus, what he taught us was this kingdom is not the best place there is. Jesus himself came from heaven, had been completely, had seen the rule of God, had seen a realm where God's authority is not only not questioned, but is executed at every turn. And then Jesus came here, and the best thing he could teach us was pray that God's kingdom comes here. Because his will is already being done in the heavens, and it needs to be done on earth. And so that's our prayer, that's our theme. And one of the things Pastor Joe has challenged us is, and I want to take just a minute to explain this a little more, he's giving us various kingdom assignments. And the first one has arrived. It's in a little packet out at the Welcome Center. And what it is a chance for you to go on a spree to visit the local ministry partners, the ministries that we partner with as Christ Community Chapel. And there's a website you can go to. It's listed on here, kingdom.ccchapel.com, and it will instruct you as how and what to do when you go to these ministries. And when you go, you get a little check mark, and when you get 8 of them, you bring them back here, and you take it right to Cafe 68, and we give you a Cafe 68 mug and a bunch of free coffees. Yeah, we are not above incentivizing you people, all right? So this is a great, and but as fun as this is, the other thing I want to remind you is many of you give faithfully to this ministry and generously. You've got to see what is being done out there. You've got to see, not only is this exciting, I mean, we have, before we expanded, we were averaging about 57, 58 kids. We had 116 a few weeks ago. That's cool. But you see this as well, you will be blown away by the stuff that your investment in the kingdom is doing out there. And Pastor Joe has other assignments coming, and they're really exciting, but I'm not allowed to tell you about them, so I won't. All right? But this is one way this year that we can begin to remember that we are citizens of the King, and we are looking to see where the King is doing his work. John chapter 19. I want to read this to you. This is a passage that is very familiar, and actually some of it will resurface in just a few weeks because it's the passage on the death of Jesus. Perfect passage for us to handle at Good Friday and Easter. But today, what I want to focus on is, number one, remembering our theme, Thy Kingdom Come. If it's true that God desires for his kingdom to be practiced here on earth, and that you and I are the citizens of the kingdom as we submit ourselves to the kingship of his Son, then one of the things I want you to understand, is what is the character of the King? What is the King like that we follow? So let's move through John chapter 19, and we're going to read it. We're going to stop in a couple of places. But for this particular reading of John 19, what I'd like you to do is really focus on the amount of kingly elements that are in this passage, okay? Does that make sense? So as we read through, make a mental note, and I'll give you a freebie in the very first verse. So Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. Okay, so already there's a clear kingly image of some sort going on. Unfortunately, the truth of this picture is Jesus has been handed over by the Jews to the Romans. The soldiers beat him and mocked him. And in an act of mockery, they put a robe and a crown on, a crown of pain, not a crown of glory, and they parade him out in front of the people. Okay? So the picture of Jesus as king is set in verse 5. Then Pilate said to them, "Behold the man." When the chief priests and the officers saw him, they cried out, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and crucify him, for I find no guilt in him." The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and according to that law, he ought to die because he has made himself the Son of God." Let me stop for a minute. Few things I need to point out and remind you of. One is, and by the way, some of you are looking for ways. You say, Mark, it seems so easy to believe. When I come into church, I get among God's people, and I'm like, well, of course I believe, and of course everybody should believe. And then I go out in my workplace, and believing in Jesus seems like the most ridiculous thing ever. And the last thing I'm ever able to do is communicate in any kind of intelligent way to people who marginally believe or don't believe at all. Well, let me give you a couple of suggestions, all right? If you ever get the opportunity, ask somebody, hey, do you think there's any significance at all to the death of Jesus Christ? That's all. Ask them. See what they say. And by the way, one fun, interesting mind bender you can toss out to them is you can say, hey, do you know that, well, first of all, you can ask them, do you know the kind of death Jesus died? Because some might not, but hopefully they will know, well, yeah, of course, people wear a cross, he died on the cross, okay. Did you say, let me tell you a little about how he came to die on a cross? Because what's strange is, hundreds of years before, a prophecy said that God would send somebody and they would be pierced for our transgressions, okay? They would die the death of a cross. Well, the Jews of the day of when Jesus was here, as he walked around, they had a problem. They were not their own governed people. They were governed by the Romans. So when the Jews got angry about Jesus and they felt like he was disturbing their religious system, they went to Pilate and said, we hate this guy, kill him. Okay? And they said, the reason we want you to kill him, he said, why should I kill him? The reason we want you to kill him is he says he's the Son of God. That's called what? Blasphemy. Good. First service got it too. Well done. The charge for blasphemy, if you blaspheme God in the Jewish order, the penalty is death. Death by stoning. Wow, we have a problem. It doesn't say he was stoned for our transgressions. So the Jewish people, yeah, I know that sounded funny. You guys, he was stoned, I know, yeah, okay. The Jewish people had a problem. We can't kill Jesus because we don't govern ourselves. We are people who have been taken over by the Romans. They have their own system. They go to Pilate. Pilate, they say, we want this guy killed. Why do you want him killed? He says he's the Son of God. Pilate says, you're telling me this guy says he is the Son of your God, who I don't care about, I don't even believe in, and I don't worship. Why should I kill this guy? And they say, whoa, we got to come up with something else. So they say, oh, did we say it was blasphemy? No, it's not blasphemy. We want to kill this guy because he says he's a king. He says he's a king. And we already have a king. Our king is Caesar. Right? You Romans teach us that. And so he says he's a king. He's a threat to Pilate and to Rome. You better kill him. And the death penalty for the Romans is crucifixion. Hundreds of years of prophecy fulfilled by a nation that was captive by a nation that didn't believe in God at all. That's something you can tell your friends about. Say, do you think that's even a little odd? That that's how Jesus died. The Jews answered, we have a law, and according to the law, he ought to die because he made himself the Son of God. When Pilate heard this statement, he was even more afraid. He entered his headquarters again and said to Jesus, where are you from? But Jesus gave him no answer. So Pilate said to him, you will not speak to me? Do you not know that I have authority to release you and authority to crucify you? Jesus answered him, you would have no authority over me at all unless it had been given you from above. Therefore, he who delivered me over to you has the greater sin. People, that's weird. Okay? Jesus didn't open his mouth at all when Pilate said, "Where are you from?" That sounds to me like a golden opportunity to witness. Yeah? But Jesus said nothing. And then Pilate, agitated, says to him, "Don't you recognize my authority? I have all authority. I can send you to the cross or set you free." And Jesus can't stand it anymore because Jesus knows the truth. He says, "I came from the realm of authority. My Father has all authority, and I got to correct you on this point." And he does. He says, "The only authority you have is the authority given to you by God." And then he makes this strange little statement where he recognizes with Pilate, "The blame is not primarily on you, it's on the ones who sent me to you, me here to you." From then on, Pilate sought to release him, but the Jews cried out, "If you release this man, you are not Caesar's friend. Everyone who makes himself a king opposes Caesar." So when Pilate heard these words, he brought Jesus out and sat down on the judgment seat at a place called the Stone Pavement, and in Aramaic, Gabbatha. Now it was the day of preparation of the Passover. It was about the sixth hour. He said to the Jews, "Behold your king." They cried out, "Away with him, away with him, crucify him." Pilate said to them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priests answered, "We have no king but Caesar." So he delivered him over to them to be crucified. So they took Jesus and went out, bearing his own cross, to the place called the Place of the Skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. There they crucified him, and with him two others, one on either side, and Jesus between them. Pastor Joe often talks about the weird details that get put in a story. Look at this next one coming. Okay, and certainly, don't miss the glory of the big picture. The glory of the big picture is Jesus Christ went to a cross for you. But look at this next detail that John includes. Pilate also wrote an inscription and put it on the cross. It read, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Now, it's not necessarily so odd that the crime gets posted. You know, that's a pretty significant deterrent when you think about it. If we were still doing crucifixion today, and you walked by and it said, "This person stole pens from their office," you might think twice about your activity at your office, okay? So the listing is there as a deterrent, but what's strange is the next part of the detail. As if it's not enough that the Jews were able to succeed in creating this incredibly bogus plot to get Jesus all the way to the cross, but then they argue about this minutia, where Pilate says, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." And they go back to him and they say, "Listen, it's written in Aramaic and in Latin and in Greek, so the chief priests of the Jews," the chief priests, go back to Pilate and say, "Do not write 'the King of the Jews,' but rather, 'This man said, I'm the King of the Jews.'" Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." Now you're going, wait, okay, yeah, that's a big difference. King of the Jews, "This man said, I'm the King of the Jews." It's a world of difference. Because whether he knew it or not, he didn't clearly understand all the implications of it. But what Pilate did was he exactly labeled Jesus on the cross. He said, "This is the King of the Jews." Now, in that moment, Pilate simply thought he was executing an absolutely powerless king. But 2,000 years later, the only account that survives of this historical moment is the declaration of who Jesus is and the consummation of Jesus becoming the King of the Jews and ultimately of us in the power of his resurrection. So Jesus Christ, so what we see is a picture of the ultimate undercover boss episode that only makes sense because of the resurrection, is that God promises to send a Messiah king. Jesus comes. He lives a life that is essentially unnoticeable to most of the world. And then he goes to a cross, which looks like the ultimate defeat and what we now understand in truth to be the ultimate sacrifice. The ultimately powerful king laying aside every one of his interests, all of his power, because there was joy set before him, and he knew that in that moment, the fullness of time, only by his sacrifice could he stop the cogs of the universe from turning away from God and begin to turn everything in the other direction and begin the redemption of all mankind. And so the only one who's right in this account is Pilate. Behold the King of the Jews. And don't just behold him at the declaration on Friday. Behold him at the coronation on Sunday of his resurrection. So the first thing you need to understand today is that the king who is the head of the kingdom in which you and I claim to dwell and in which you and I are citizens made an unbelievable sacrifice, the ultimate sacrifice, to draw us in and give us our citizenship. I suggest that your response, and you've already done some of it today, is worship, because that's what he deserves, and a life of gratitude, understanding what he has done for you. Secondly, the question becomes, now that I know what the character of the king is like, I begin to understand what the expectations are like to dwell in his kingdom. Because as his kingdom is coming, and his kingdom has come in the initial statement of Jesus' resurrection, the establishment of the kingdom is here. We still wait the complete fulfillment, but Jesus is executing through us the beginnings and the roots of his kingdom. The question is, how then do we live because of this? And the answer is, Jesus has demonstrated that the act of sacrifice gets fulfilled and blessed by God. The expectation is that you and I live in that same way. He said it, right? He said, if anyone wants to come after me, they must deny what their self wants, and they must take up their cross, their sacrifice, and follow. So ultimately, what Pastor Joe has charged us with and what I'm charging you with is the question of, what is your prayer? Is it thy kingdom come, thy will be done, or is it my kingdom come, my will be done? That's a hard question, and you need more than 2 minutes this morning to think about it. That's one I want you to think about all week, okay? Let me give you just a couple of simple examples. And I couldn't do this first hour because he was in here, but I want to tell you a quick story. Will Bursch, our student ministries guy, is a really unassuming guy. He's a neat, neat guy. He's very unassuming. And one of the fun things, Mark and Will and some others, we get together for lunch. I enjoy it. We either eat here or we go out and, you know, hey, 5 till noon. Hey, Will, lunchtime, you going to come join us? We're going to go out and get something to eat. We laugh. He often, regularly, a couple times a week, he says, oh, no, you know what? I can't. I go over to the high school and I tutor kids who are struggling with math, problem students over at Aurora High School. They come to me and we work through math together. That's a sacrifice. Will doesn't do that because he loves math. He doesn't do that because he said, oh, you know, eventually Mark will talk about it and I'll be a hero. He He doesn't do that. He does it because he understood that Jesus went to the cross for him and put aside his personal interests, and that when we do that, we understand, we glorify him, and we realize that there are certain things in this life that only God will bring fulfillment to. And so he does it. It's also why I hope some of you recognize that you participate in this thing called marriage. Because marriage gives you the opportunity to live a sacrificial life with someone else. All the time, I have people in my office, they say, my marriage is failing because he's not meeting my needs. So it's time for me to get happy. And I'm a terrible marriage counselor, but I say, I'm sorry you're not happy, but that's not exactly what you signed up for if you signed up for Christian marriage. Because in Christian marriage, you elected to bind yourself with someone else for the purpose of laying down your life. Right? I mean, Paul's instruction to husbands was super simple. He said, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. So your calling and my calling as husbands is live this life of sacrifice. My greatest hope, I'm going to leave you with this thought. It's something I hope percolates during the week. If somebody were to find out you were a Christian accidentally, I hope, by the way, they find out on purpose, but if someone found out accidentally and they were at your workplace and they happened to be part of some good teaching in another church and they said, you know what, I heard you're a Christian. And my pastor told me a few weeks ago that one of the evidences of a Christian is that they are sacrificial in their lives. They intentionally give up things that would potentially bring them pleasure and joy right now for the greater joy that God will bring in his fulfillment. I heard that's true of Christians. Are you doing that anywhere? I hope there would be something in your life where you could say, yeah, I'm laying down, I feel like I'm laying down my life. I feel like I'm sacrificing because of what Jesus did for me and because I'm a citizen of his kingdom. Father, please make that true. We cannot do that on our own. Our stubbornness is simply too great. Our pride is way, way too big. So, Father, bring us, scary, bring us the humility we need to recognize that we serve a risen King. And please, Father, bring your kingdom here. And through us, or whatever way it pleases you, execute your will among us. We ask because of Jesus, in his name. Amen. Stand this morning. Let me send you out with a benediction. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus, the love of God the Father, the constant fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest and abide upon each one of you until we shall meet again or until he comes and then forever. Go and have a great week in Christ. Amen.